The mistake is they only wrote three verses to it. Could have sung six or eight of them. I mean, when you get a winning melody and words together, you'd enjoy having much more. And once again, we talk about it often here. We just appreciate good music, godly music. And we're thankful for the music that we have. Today is a special day, our anniversary day here. Yeah, you can stand. You say, well, if you're going to talk, you sit down. No, you can stand. If I can stand the whole time, you can stand for 5 minutes here, whatever. We talk about it quite often, music here at our church. We had a great music program when we came. We still have the great music song leader here. The Lord gave us a wonderful choir and musicians for the majority of those years that we have been here. And that's one of the things that I have really been, if I can say this in the right sense of the word, proud to be associated with the kind of music that we have had here, which has been to bring glory and honor to the Lord. You know, we don't have a stage show. We know that that's kind of all the thing in many circles. We're not up here showing people off, entertaining them. It has always been throughout the years our goal to have music that brings honor and glory to the Lord in its presentation, in the message of it, even in the sound of it. And so we joke about, we wish we had a song like that with more verses, but music has been a very important part of our ministry here all the years that God has given us. And you folks have been blessed. I was thinking this morning, I think I know the answer to this question. If you were here 45 years ago, our first Sunday, Gene Trumbull was here, Dick and Margot were here, Jim Beeman was here. Oh yeah, Kim was 6 years old. She wasn't going to let me forget her, was she? Kim was six. John, I'm not sure if you were here, or were you in Bible school at that time?
Bible school then.
Okay. What's that?
Bonnie was at Bible school.
Oh, Bonnie was in Bible school with you. I'm thinking...
Nora.
Where? Well, she's so short. She's a foot short for her age. Nora was here at that time. Well, not a lot of them. Not a lot of them left. Things happen in 45 years. And we thank the Lord. Did you think you'd be here that long when you stepped up on the platform 45 years ago? Not on your life. Not on your life. How long are you going to stay, Pastor? That's what we've been asking ourselves for several years now. You know, my wife and I, we keep asking the Lord that same thing. I'm honest with you. I'm not joking. I don't want you to be stuck with a problem. I don't want you to be stuck with the wrong one.
Amen.
We have offered our resignation to the men of the board, I think three different times since the year 2000, that if they felt that's what Hiawatha needs for us to get out of the way and get some fresh blood in here, new ideas, let us know. And so far, the answer has been no. We pray about our church often. I trust you do too. We want God's best here. I'm not claiming to be the best. We want what is God's best for you. You should have your Bibles in your hands, but you don't know where to turn, or maybe you looked at the bulletin, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you notice it says the first 8 verses in 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that's the old King James, isn't it? It's love, isn't it? All right. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I have a ministry that lasts 45 years and outlasts most pastors' records, and have not love, that's nothing. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not or does not push itself forward. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believes all things, hopeth all things, endures all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to his word. Let's remain standing for prayer. Thank you, Father, that we can be here today. We thank you for anniversary Sunday, and none of us in our dreams thought that a ministry would last that long when it started years ago. You are the one that gets the glory. And you know our hearts, Lord. Throughout these years, we have wanted to make sure that we are in the center of your will and in the place that's best for everyone, this congregation and for our family. We continue to have that same prayer. Be glorified, Lord. Continue to make your will known. We pray, Lord, that today, as we turn to your word, that you would be able to speak to our hearts. We would listen to you. We know some have been sick. Pray that you would strengthen and restore. Some still absent from our midst. We pray that you would restore and bring healing to them. Some, perhaps, through carelessness, neglect, apathy toward the things of you, just didn't come to church today. We pray that you would speak to their hearts. Show them what they're missing, Lord. Show them the importance of a right relationship with you. One that feeds on your word, fellowships with your people. I pray that you would be glorified in the future in this place. Now we pray that we might listen to what you have for us. I trust that your Spirit would lead me, guide me, control me, to say what ought to be said, keep from saying what ought not to be said. We just thank you and we praise you now in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. For our message today, we are taking a different approach than that which you are normally familiar with here. Rather than looking at this portion of Scripture in an expositional way, where we go verse by verse, word by word, we're going to look at it in a different sense, and I trust can still bring glory to the Lord. As we think of what's here today, as we, and I invite you now to go back to Galatians, after I just said we're not going to go in verse by verse exposition, where should we turn, Pastor? Turn to Galatians chapter 5, but we're not going to approach it the same way as we have in what you are familiar with that are regulars here. It's a topic we often hear of, and perhaps from the scripture reading that we read this morning, you might even be able to venture a guess what the topic might be. Anybody want to venture a guess? Boy, you're sharp. You're sharp. You say, well, why are you afraid of it? Because everybody understands love, don't they? Everybody knows about love, don't they? Everybody has an idea about love, don't they? But what does God's Word teach us about it? Now, it appeared several times in Galatians chapter 5, and I didn't really point it out to you as we were going through that, but today I want us to consider the importance of love for the believer. Is it important for a believer or not? Sure it is. And that's what I want us to look at, approaching it completely differently than my custom in approaching the scripture. So having said that, where do we look in Galatians chapter 5? I'd like you to notice number one in verse 6. The truth that genuine faith worketh by love. Genuine faith works through or by love. Look at that sixth verse. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Remember, that's what Paul has been spending this whole book of Galatians about, addressing a problem that had arisen there in the regions of Galatia. There were those that were trying to impress upon these people that Paul had led to the Lord, you need to connect with the law of Moses. You need to connect with being circumcised But what we notice here in verse 6, Paul said, in Christ. What is that another name for? If one is in Christ, what's another thing we call that person?
A believer.
A Christian? In Christ, notice, neither circumcision avails anything. That's your step on the Jewish toes, wouldn't it? Nor uncircumcision. Now he's patting the back of whom? The Gentiles. He says, well, I want to talk to you about in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a what? New creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When Christ came, things changed. And we find here what Paul is, this first thing that he mentions. As we're taking a closer look this morning, genuine faith works by love. In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. What does? If what's important isn't whether I'm circumcised or not, what is important? Have I exercised what? Have I put my faith and trust in the Lord? And we find that genuine faith operates or works by love. Hold your finger here and let's go to the book of Colossians. Back a few pages from where we are. In Colossians 1, as we think of verses 3 and 4, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we have heard of your what? Your faith, and of what? The love that you have for all the saints. Genuine faith works by love. He said, we're thankful for your faith, we're thankful for your love in Christ toward other brothers and sisters. Turn a few more pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your what? Your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, beloved, your election of God. This was something that as Paul was thinking of believers, other believers, the church at Colossae, the church at Thessalonica, the churches of Galatia, he says here, the thing that really matters, it's not whether you're circumcised or not, but is your faith working by love for the Lord in your heart and in your life. William MacDonald, in his commentary on Scripture, had this to say concerning this verse. What God looks for in the believer is faith working through love. What God looks for in the believer is faith working through love. Is it possible to do a work apart from love? Yes or no? Sure, we can. Our attitudes. We can be getting a job done, but does that mean that we are loving? That our heart is right? Sadly, so many times it's, well, I was hoping somebody else would do it, but they didn't. So if the job is going to be done, I'm going to get the job done. But where's the love in that? Mr. McDonald says what God looks for in the believer is faith working through love. They're trusting God, they're serving the Lord, they're faithful to Him, because not only do they love God, but they love the believers that they are ministering to. Faith is complete dependence on God, Mr. McDonald says. Faith is not idle. It manifests itself in unselfish service to God and man. The motive of all such service is love. Thus, faith works through love. It is prompted by love, not by law. This is a truth found many times in the scriptures, that God is not interested in rituals, but in the reality of a godly life. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, the writer of Hebrews had this to say. He said, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Somebody can look at someone like me and say, well, you have a 45-year track record there. You must have really loved the people. Did I or didn't I? You don't know my heart, do you? I don't know your hearts. But God, He knows our heart, and He is faithful in rewarding that which we have done with the love, heart, love motive. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name. Only God knows what I'm going to receive a reward for a 45-year track record. You say, oh my, must be a list a mile long. Oh really? God's seen my heart. He knows what is or isn't going to be rewarded, because He has been there every day, knowing every motive. Has it been faith which was working by love? As we look at this portion, as we think of the importance of love for the believer, we see that genuine faith works by love when it works the way that God gets the glory, number one. Number two, let your eyes drop to verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What's this second thing concerning love? According to this 13th verse, number two, it is to be the basis of our service to other believers. It is to be the basis of our service to other believers. By love, serve one another. How much of my ministry has been served in that way? Those of you that have a long track record in Sunday school teaching, Awana ministry, other kinds of ministries, we need to be asking ourselves this question: how much service to others did I give because I was loving them and loving the Lord and loving what I was doing? By love, serve one another. 1 Corinthians 9:19, we read this. It says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul's practice was this: whatever it took to reach others for the Lord, he would do it out of love for their souls. Can we say that? Those of us that have a track record as far as our service rating for the Lord. Paul says, I'm free from all men there in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, I'm not obligated to anybody, but I've given myself in service to every one of them because I care for them so much, I want to reach them whatever it takes. Has that been an accurate statement concerning our life and ministry? As we think of this, we think about the importance of love for the believer. We saw in verse 6 of chapter 5 of Galatians, it works, genuine faith is to work through or by love for the Lord, love for those that we are serving. Secondly, in verse 13, we find that it is to be the basis of all of our service to others. Paul says, brethren, in verse 13, you've been called unto liberty. He has been talking about that in this fifth chapter. Look at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. As a believer, we have freedom in Christ. What does this freedom mean to us? Does it mean that I am free to live like the devil? Does it mean that I am free to do as I please and not really be concerned about having to follow a bunch of orders? No. It means that Christ has set us free from the bondage to the law and all the requirements of it. Christ has given us, he has fulfilled the law for us. We can love him, we can serve him as we ought, freely. And we don't have to worry. Well, I sure hope I'm doing everything like the law says I'm supposed to do. He has set us free. And he says, in our service to others, we hear about that as believers, don't we? As a small child, we're told we ought not to be thinking about whom so much. Ourselves. That's the whole point of Christian living, isn't it? Remember how you used to spell joy? J-O-Y? Now you say, boy, Pastor, you are old. I haven't seen that in print in years. Maybe you're so young you've never seen it. But you know what joy means for the believer? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. J-O-Y. Isn't that profound for an old man? But that's what Christianity, that's what serving the Lord, that's what our service ought to be. I ought to be what is motivated as I'm serving others. How can I glorify the Lord in my service to others? That's what ought to be concerning me. And so we see what's joy, what's love. Genuine faith works by it. It's to be the basis of our service for or to others. Number three. Verse 14 of chapter 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Remember the Galatians, they were being misled and confused by those who were putting an emphasis on what? The law. And Paul said, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt, what's the word? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 had this to say. Owe no man anything except this. And what is it? Love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled what? The law. That's what the Judaizers were mixing up the Galatians with. You ought to abide by the law. And Paul is trying to get them to see it's not just whether or not these men are getting the flesh cut in circumcision, but really in Christ, the love for one another has fulfilled the law. That's what Christ set us free from. He came, gave his life. And we find here in verse 8 that You want to owe somebody something? You want to be indebted to something, to someone? You want to have a, you might say, a debt hanging over your head that you really can't pay off? Now, we don't like that many times, do we? Some of us that have had trouble with finances, we can't wait to get all the bills paid, all the obligations done. But Paul said, I want to put something over you here. Owe no man anything except this, that you'll love him. That you'll love him. Because if you love your fellow brother or sister, you are fulfilling the, you are doing everything the law requires of you. In Matthew chapter 22, our Lord on one occasion gave some great teaching with regards to the law. Now, of course, we know when our Lord was here on earth, that was still up and running, wasn't it? And as he moved around in Jewish circles, he was always addressing it. And everybody spoke of the law, the Old Testament law, law of Moses, and so on. But I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 22, we start at verse 36. Actually, verse 35. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, testing or tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great or most important commandment, and the second is just like it." What was the second? "Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself." And our Lord said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." There are none any more important than these, our Lord said. So as we think of this, we see, as we're here in Galatians chapter 5 this morning, he is telling us all the law is fulfilled in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that all he had to say about it in Galatians here? No. We drop down to number 4, to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. We find that it is the first of the Spirit's fruit. He has, in the previous verses, in verses 19 to 21, he has enumerated, listed out all the works of, not all the works of the flesh. Not all the works of the flesh. There are many, many more. But those were enough to get the idea. And then in verse 22 and 23, he said, but in contrast to the works of the flesh, which is the result of what? efforts, the spirits produce is referred to as what? Fruit. How do you get fruit? It has to what? What about these verses 19 through 21, adultery, fornication, witchcraft, hatred, murders, drunkenness, and so on? Those are works of the flesh. How do you get them? They just happen to what? They kind of come along, don't they? And sadly, they come along more often than we wish they would. In contrast, though, for the believer, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. And the first of the fruit is love. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. I'd like you to notice here the priority of this fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 3, 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, doesn't that sound like the word priority? And above all these things, put on what? Charity or love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. As we think of the priority, we notice again here in our text in Galatians 5:22, our fourth point this morning, as we think about this topic of love, the thing that brings us the importance of this is it is the first of the thing that the Spirit of God wants to produce in the life of a yielded believer. And we've said this before, but we say it again. Don't sit there thinking, well, that's no big deal. I'll just... By the use of the word fruit, it is telling us what? As far as you're concerned. You and I, what? We can't produce it. It's not Jerry's fruit, or Fred's, or Susie's, whoever you are here. It's the Spirit's fruit, and it is produced in a yielded heart and life. And it's the first of a list of nine things. You say, well, I don't have any trouble. I can be loving. I can be joyful. I can have peace. I can be long-suffering. I can be gentle. I can be good. I can have faith. I can be meek. Boy, there's none any meeker than me. No, it's not called the works of the believer. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And if you haven't figured it out, beloved, there's no way that you and I can produce these things in our lives of ourselves. I have to yield myself to the Lord and say, Lord, I am not a loving person. I am not a joyful person. If there's going to be any love for you and love for others, it's your spirit is going to have to produce that in my life. You are going to have to take away the bitterness, the disappointment, and the discouragements. And you're going to have to bring joy, because if I start running a list of things, boy, I'm anything but spirit fruit filled in my life. You got the courage to tell that to the Lord? We need His Spirit to produce His fruit. How are we going to know if and when it's there? I take you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for our fifth point. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter, did I say 15? 13, I meant to say, if I said the wrong thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see it endorsed and described. In verses 1 through 8, we read that for our scripture reading this morning. Though verse 1, I may have the best tongue and vocabulary that anybody has ever heard to speak, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, Paul said, if man, I'm tickling their ears and I just got them standing on their feet listening, but there's no love in my message, that's nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy and mysteries, and I can talk about the future and what's ahead, and boy, my faith is moving one mountain after another, nothing gets me down. I've got faith for anything that comes. Yet he says, if I don't have love in my heart and in my life toward others, I'm nothing. Verse 2. And then this is a good one in verse 3. Though I really have others' best interest at heart, and it bothers me to see a sick person, it bothers me to see a beggar alongside the road, though I bestow all my goods, I give up everything so that I never see anybody doing without. What would be wrong with that as a motive for helping people? Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if I'm not doing it out of genuine love for them, he said, it's not doing them any more good than if I would offer myself as a burnt sacrifice. It's not helping them, benefiting. And then he showed us. Then I ask you, how do you think your life adds up as far as, I wonder if anybody sees any love in my heart toward them. Do they see any love in me? Do they sense love when they talk to me? When they really get to know me and I find out what kind of person am I like, do I suffer long? Do I have patience, or is there a limit? Does love suffers long? And yeah, he or she's kind, but just don't get them on a day when they got out of the wrong side of the bed. They're envious, not someone that their heart is full of love. They're not puffed up, so on. He gives the descriptions of it here in verses 4 through 8. We read them a while ago. We're not going to continue on. I close with verse 13. Verse 13. And now abideth faith. How many of you think faith is important? Sure. Hope. You know, if a person doesn't have hope, they're kind of hopeless, aren't they? And we say, well, yeah, that's pretty important. Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three things, Paul says. But what's the greatest of them? It's love. Our topic that we looked at here in Galatians in our message this morning. No, we didn't do our usual this morning, verse by verse, word by word. Love's talked about, heard about. But do we stop to realize how important it is to our Christian life? It can be one of the greatest testimonies for our Savior's sake. If it's demonstrated with the right heart. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for the time to be here today and the time to look at your word and to consider things a bit differently rather than perhaps going verse by verse, word by word. We took a topic. And I pray that its importance will settle into our hearts. Paul made reference to it four different times here in our verses. We looked at the different verses in which it was found and its importance. May we apply it as we go our own ways. We can't be loving apart from the Spirit's fruit in our lives. That's something we need to understand before we get up out of our seat. We can't just tell ourselves we're going to be more loving to one another. We need to be talking to you, Lord, because that's your Spirit's fruit. We thank you. Praise you.